Joey Brand's not a kid anymore. In fact, he's a grandfather. But sometimes the old nicknames, they die hard.
Even at the age of 57, there's people that see me and they go, "Hey, it's the California Kid."
Jim McKay called him that when he covered Joey Brand for Wide World of Sports in 1978. Brand has embraced the nickname. As a teenager, Brand became enamored of the surfing competition called the Pipeline Masters. It featured the best competitors and the most spectacular waves. For surfers, it was a very big deal at a time when there weren't so many big deals.
I remember in junior high telling my teachers that I was going to be a pro surfer. At that time, there was no pro tour. The pro tour started in 1976, and even then, it was very sketchy.
The first time Brand won a surfing contest in 1978, his first place check for $3,000 bounced, which must have been disappointing.
Actually, it worked together for good for me because I got a lot of coverage from it because that was a storyline. Young pro surfer wins first contest, check bounces.
The check was phony, but the win was the real thing, and it was the beginning of the California Kid's opportunity to range well beyond California.
I mean, I did the world tour. I traveled to South Africa, Brazil, and Japan, and these different places. But my goal was always to win the Pipe Masters. The Pipeline Masters is the Wimbledon of surfing. It is the Masters in golf, the green jacket. That's what it is in the sport of surfing.
According to Joey Brand, part of the charm of the Pipeline Masters is that everybody who cares about surfing is watching. But the real draw is the type of waves in that competition.
It's what we call a barrel or a tube. It's hollow. And so the objective is to get deep in that barrel and to get spit out like a cannon. Either you make it or you get detonated.
This wouldn't be much of a story if all Joey Brand did was dream about those waves, would it? No. At 24, after 6 years as a pro surfer, Brand tore it up at the 1984 Pipeline Masters. He won. Watch the video sometime. It's not hard to understand how those waves could thunder through a teenage surfer's dreams. Brand had announced that after the tournament he would leave competitive surfing. Maybe he was that sure he'd win. He figured December 17, 1984 would be the most dramatic and triumphant day of his life. And for a few minutes after the trophy presentation, maybe it was. But then,
all of a sudden it started pouring rain. Like within 5 minutes, it was heavy, heavy monsoonal type of rain. So everyone left. And literally within 15 minutes of being crowned the king of the surf world, I literally was standing on the beach in pouring rain with my three surfboards by myself. And the thought was so clear and so profound in my mind, this is it? Like, this is my life? There's got to be more than this.
For a while, there really wasn't. Brand organized some surfing tournaments. He returned to the Pipeline Masters a year later. Brand made the semifinals. But he felt as if his life had peaked and maybe it should end.
It's a dark place. And if you've never been there, it's hard to understand. And I've been there.
The depression became more serious, the despair more intense.
I just could not find a clear purpose to live.
In 1986, Joey Brand tried to kill himself with a drug overdose.
I tell people, I know how low you can go because I've been strapped into a straitjacket in a hospital and have the doctors talk to me like there's something wrong with me, which usually if you try and take your life, that's how they talk to you.
As Joey Brand tells the story, it wasn't what the doctors had to say that turned him around. He does recall one of them, perhaps it was a psychiatrist, telling him he needed to forgive himself. As he walked away from that meeting, Brand realized he didn't see it that way.
I do not believe I have the authority to forgive myself. I believe that authority belongs to God. And from that point in time on, I began to read the Bible and listen to Christian radio. And eventually, about 6 months later, I gave my life to Jesus Christ.
Brand found satisfaction in ministering to youngsters, telling them to stay away from drugs and obey mom and dad, but he was always introduced to those groups of kids as the former Pipeline Masters champ who'd become an evangelical Christian. He helped to start churches in Virginia and in Vermont, but he returned to the Pipeline Masters as a competitor a couple of times in the 90s, and then one day in 2007,
I've pastored a church here in Orange County, which I've been in ministry for 30 years. That morning, it came upon my mind that a door was going to open up to me in the surf industry again. It just is spending time, what we call devotional time, that thought crossed my mind, like, wow, you know, I'd be crazy if something opened up with surfing. I got to the church office, and there was a phone message from the great coach, Mike Parsons, who is also a great surfer. And he said, "Hey, Joey, it's me, Mike. We want you to consider being the head coach of the USA surf team."
When Brand accepted the offer to coach team surfing, he had a plan.
you know, I tended the flock. They just happened to be the best surfers in the United States under 18, and I had a great relationship with all of them.
That relationship lasted for 2 years, during which the favored U.S. team won medals that weren't gold. Maybe that's why the relationship ended, though Joey Brand says his departure from the U.S. team coincided with his desire to spend more time with his own children. But surfing was still a calling card. Brand made a film featuring his exploits, and everywhere he took it, he found opportunities.
And when I went to England in 2010, the British Surfing Association was like, oh my goodness, Joey Brand, you know, the coach, the U.S. team, you know, he's here. We should get him to work with our kids.
He recalls with a smile carrying the Union Jack at the World Championships in 2011. He'd always competed in a wetsuit featuring an American flag. A year later, the Brits decided their team should have a British coach. Eventually, Brand came to see that decision as just another opportunity in Chile.
I spent 3 years going back and forth to Chile to help build their program in surfing, and again, marching in parades with Chile. You know, when you're marching through a parade saying, C-H-E-L-E-A-G-G-G-L-E-L-E, it's very different than people chanting USA, USA.
The difference was also evident on the scoreboard. Despite Joey Brand's encouragement, the Chileans usually came in last.
You know, it was very enjoyable. It was so different than coaching USA surf team where anything less than gold is failure.
The pressure of those expectations must not have put off Coach Brand. At the beginning of 2017, USA Surfing called again, and Brand came back. I wondered if when he returned, he still regarded the young surfers as a flock he'd tend.
I approach it this way. If I work for Starbucks, I'm not there to be a pastor. I'm there to make lattes, and that's what I'm going to do. But in doing that, I'm still true to my character and who I am. I stood alone on the beach as a Pipe Masters champion with the Lord, and I stand alone with the Lord in every situation I'm in, but I'm not hired by Starbucks to be a preacher. So my job, how I witness, is to do the best job possible.
The sport of team surfing will be included in the Olympics for the first time when the world's athletes gather in Tokyo in 2020. As the guy presently coaching the U.S. team, Joey Brand has been hearing about that.
I had some people in the neighborhood about a week ago, they saw me walking the dog, like, hey, you know, it's going to be incredible. You get to walk in the opening ceremonies in Tokyo. And I said, well, Tokyo's 2.5 years away, and I've done enough funerals as a minister to know that I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. So, I don't mean, you know, like, if it happens, great.
Joey Brand says he's just trying to stay in the moment. Good place for a surfer to be, and for a pastor as well, I suppose.